In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember that I've told you there are no rhetorical questions in Scripture. Even though they might be phrased as a rhetorical question, you need to answer every one of them. And there are three rhetorical questions in Scripture today. And I want to look at them, and then I want to see the answer. The answer is in the epistle today from St. Paul. Here is the first question. Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, bring Christ down from above? Who shall descend into the deep, that is, bring Christ up again from the dead? This is St. Paul quoting Deuteronomy. And then the other question is, what shall we have to do with thee, O Jesus, thou Son of God? And that was the question of the demons who were in the men in the Gergesenes, and they knew that Jesus could send them into the abyss. So they said, what shall we do with thee? What do we have to do with thee? These are all very important questions, especially this last question. What shall we have to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God? This is a question you must be answering by how you live your life, every single moment of your life. Let's talk about the first two questions. First of all, let's give a little context, not a whole lot, because St. Paul is very complicated, to be honest with you. You can get very confused trying to explain St. Paul very quickly. But he's talking about the law, and how the Jews depended on the law. The law only told people what was wrong with them. That's all it did. It just said things that were wrong. You should not steal, you should not commit adultery, you should not kill. These are things people did, and they needed to be told not to do them. And the Jews thought that by following the law, that is some of these things, certainly not all of the things we must do, but just a few, because the law is not comprehensive at all, that they would be saved. And St. Paul is explaining to them that they should not depend upon the law for righteousness, that instead, Jesus Christ for righteousness. And that's true. But there's a very deep spiritual reason why it's true. And most people, even in this day and age, they live according to a law. They live according to sort of rules that they think are what will save them. And there is no rule that will save you. There is Christ abiding within you that will save you. And so this question about who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down from above, that's his parenthetical remark. Of course, Moses didn't say that. He said, who shall ascend into heaven? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? In other words, how are we to find salvation? Can you go to heaven to find it? Well, we're pretty much earthbound right now. Can you go down to the deep to find it? No. We don't have the capacity on our own ability to be saved. That's what this is saying. In poetic, sort of difficult language. You can't be saved on your own. You can't be saved by your own strength or your own power or by following the law or by being more righteous than the person next to you. It's impossible. Then we go to this last rhetorical question that I gave you. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God? And there's the answer, if you know how to answer that question. St. Paul answers it in the continuation of Moses' quote, which he then gives Christian background to. I've told you before, it's really true. You just test me on it. You just read, well, maybe some of Numbers. I might not be right. When they have all that numbering, it gets kind of boring. But every other page of the Scripture is about Jesus Christ. Every page is about Jesus Christ. It's about our salvation. And Deuteronomy has beautiful blessings in it and also warnings, to be honest with you, that are about Jesus Christ, about living the Christian life, about living an internal life. Your life should not be external. It has to be internal. You have to learn to live in a spiritual way. That's very, very important. And it is a learned skill that you must apply yourself to. So how does Moses end this quote in Deuteronomy? It's in chapter 30, 11 through 14, I believe. After he asked these questions, he says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's what Moses said. And Paul comments, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if Thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then he gives a further clarification that's very, very important. Because a lot of people think if you just believe something and say you believe it, you can be saved. It's not true. If you say you believe something, that must mean you must act according to what you say. So he clarifies, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So Christianity is lived in the heart. You have to struggle to live the Christian life in your heart. You cannot live in your heart without great struggle, without mindfulness. Everything in your life is sacred. There is not the secular. You must live in a sacred way for everything. And in the heart, man believes. And then there is righteousness, because in the heart is God. Because God abides in the heart. You know, one of my favorite scripture quotes, that a man shall draw nigh and the heart is deep and God shall be exalted. Our heart is deep enough to contain the uncontainable God. The one who made the universe can choose to make himself contained within our heart, each one of our hearts. Just as he chose to make himself contained in the virginal womb of the Theotokos. The Creator became created using the created, right? He became a man and contained himself, even though he's uncontainable, through the Virgin. So we must live in the heart. And we should listen again to the words of Moses that have been given this Christian understanding by St. Paul. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That's very intimate, isn't it? To be in your mouth. To have the taste of honey in your mouth, the sweetness of God in your mouth, with breathing in and out, is God. Because God is in your heart, and he's in your mouth. He's so close to you that he's in your mouth. You feel him intimately. This is what you should do. Most of Christianity, the vast majority of people that go to church, they don't feel God intimately. They go to church because, well, that's what you're supposed to do when you say your communion rule, and you go to communion and you go to confession sometimes, and if it's a difficult and onerous thing, then maybe you do it twice or three times or four times a year. You fast, but it's kind of hard, and so maybe you just fast at the beginning of Lent and the end of Lent, things like that. People kind of make up their own rules because they don't see that they should be doing everything so that God is in their mouth, in everything they do. Of course, we must breathe every few seconds. It's vital for our life. That's how vital God is for our life. And just as our breath is intimate to us and comes within us, we should have God coming within us. This is the key to living the Christian life. And if you don't do that, then your life is only mediocre. Many times I encounter people that have faith crises. In fact, most people, to be honest with you, are living in a faith crisis. And always I see that when a person is in a faith crisis, they are not feeling God. They don't feel that intimate connection. Now, there's reasons for that in our life. When you have sin, you can't feel God. When you have, especially when you have very strong emotional, angry or judgmental feelings about someone, that blocks out God, as if you're putting a big screen in front of the sun. Big brick wall so that the sun cannot get through. But we must have the experience of God in order to have this intimate relationship. And we must do everything we can to facilitate this. This is why I tell you all the time about praying the Jesus Prayer and about praying for your enemies, praying for people that have harmed you. Very critical. Because you're living an intimate life with God, or you should be. And if you're not, then you're to be pitied. Why are we doing this? We're doing this because God made us to have intimate union with him. And we are realizing this union now. It's not something for later. When the Lord started preaching, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Which means it's happening now. So you should feel that intimate relationship with God. Do everything you can to facilitate this intimate relationship with God. I don't care if you're a great sinner. God doesn't either. That's not the critical thing. The critical thing is, do you desire to know God? If you desire to know God, then eventually you won't be a great sinner. But you could conceivably be a pretty good person and be far away from God because you don't have this intimate relationship with Him. This is what we should be facilitating. I've told many of you, and some of you are faces that I have not seen or haven't seen, you know, until recently. So maybe you haven't heard this. I repeat myself often, but maybe not you haven't heard this. The purpose of liturgy is to meet God. It is to be in the presence of God, to have His grace come within us, to eat of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and to be changed from within. It can't happen any other time. The liturgy is an absolutely unique event in our life. One might say that it's an event that is one event over the course of history, where God has given Himself to His people. But in our course of history, of course, it repeats. Repeats for us on Sunday, on Monday, on feast days, etc. And you should come to the liturgy with a desire to have this intimate meeting with God. And you should have facilitated that meeting as best as you can, even though, of course, you can't go up to heaven, you can't go down to hell, you don't have the ability to be saved, but you do have the ability to open up your heart to God so that when He comes, you feel Him and you're not insensible. And you should have facilitated today by having prayed last night in the vigil, paying attention as best you can, saying your communion prayers, getting up early enough in the morning today so that it's not a rush, crazy getting out of the house. These are all skills. Some of you are good at them. Some of you are not so good. Well, how do you get good at something? You get good at it by struggling to do it. All these things are within your grasp so that you come to Sunday or to Monday, because we have liturgy on Monday, and you try to meet God and have God come into your heart and warm you so that you feel Him even in your breath. That is what a Christian should be trying to do. If you have this intimate experience of God, then you will make great progress. And Christianity is indeed a relationship with God. God has made you so that you could know Him, and not just know Him, but intimately know Him as much as the breath in your mouth. So struggle to have an intimate relationship with God. I'll leave you. I always try to put practical things in my homilies, because I've heard a lot of homilies, and a lot of times they say things, and then I wonder, well, how do you do it? That's a great concept. How do you do it? You should love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Okay, how do you do that? A lot of people don't know how to do that. How do you have an intimate relationship with God so that you literally feel Him in the breath that comes out of your mouth? How do you do that? You do that with labor. You do that with struggling to follow the commandments. You do that with prayer. All of us should increase our prayer. We should increase the prayer of the heart as best as we know how to say it, whether that be saying the Jesus Prayer or other short prayers. I think the Jesus Prayer is best, and we should also always remember to pray for anybody that bothers us, anybody that's hurt us, anybody that we have bad feelings about. Everybody. I don't care if they're living or dead, Orthodox or not. It doesn't matter. Completely doesn't matter. Because those people are stones in your heart, and you want to get rid of those stones. So the practical advice that I have to give you today, I guess it's the practical advice that I give most days, but it's so important. Develop a rule of prayer daily that is intense as you're able to bear. And that will help you to have this relationship with God where you feel Him in your breath. One other practical thing, you really can't have an intense relationship with God where you feel Him in your breath. That's a very subtle thing. If you have so much noise in your life,
So if your life is full of TV and movies and video games and this and that and other thing, and striving for this and wanting to do that, then you won't be able to feel God in your breath, because that's a very subtle thing. A friend of mine, unfortunately, he didn't know how to follow his own advice. God, may God save him. He once told me it's impossible to have a conversation with someone when there's a freight train going through your head. Freight trains are really loud. Our sins are really loud. Our bad priorities are really loud. And they obscure the still small voice of God. And He is speaking to us in an intimate way. So try to quiet yourself down a little bit. Pray more. Struggle more. Prepare for the holy mysteries more. And over time, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, you will feel His breath in your mouth. God bless you.